Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Our broadcast, this program, the entire show, is developed and designed around you, our listener, with a Q&A format. You can ask the questions, we'll respond. We invite you to call in with your dialogue and discussion on each issue, each and every day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get your thoughts, your opinions. We're going to be talking about a variety of issues today as we look at the headlines, issues that are important. Headline issues that are important. Perhaps you have a headline issue that you would like for us to discuss that I will not have on the agenda today. Love to hear from you. Put in your 2 cents worth, as one person said. They just wanted to call in, put in 2 cents where you put in a nickel's worth if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. Telephone number is 831-0917. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me emphasize that, ladies and gentlemen. If we want to be free, we need to know the word of God, study the word of God. The scripture reminds us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus says to his disciples, those that followed him, those that are walking with him, those that are ministering with him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, you are indeed one of my disciples. You are a true disciple, Jesus is saying. And then you shall know the truth. And then the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to direct our footsteps. It's the truth of the word of God that we need to depend on each and every day, and not some philosophical rhetoric in the world that we find today. Truth is something that is not sought after. Truth is something that is demeaned and dissed. Jesus goes on to say in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God. And I commend that to you as each and every day I point my thoughts and facts and directions back to the word of God. It's the truth book. It was the secularist George Orwell, back in the 1940s, late 40s, writing a dystopian novel entitled 1984, projecting where America would be in 1994, I've forgotten which it was, but anyway, in that book, he pointed out several things, one of which, he said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see today, a disdain for truth. We find that globally. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's being controlled. A truth factor is being controlled today by none other than big tech, social media, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, Instagram, Twitter, etc., etc., all of which make the determination of what they believe is true, and it's based on what they believe is true that winds up being allowed on these high-profile platforms. It goes back to what the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said. In a headline, he warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And in part, he says this, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. That ought not to be so. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll find in many denominational churches today, they will go along with the compromise with political correctness, the compromise in order to be viewed as being woke. There's a whole woke culture today, including in multitudes of churches and denominations. But we need to go back to some fundamentals, and that is based on truth. Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, and tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And I challenge you, our listeners, with that each and every day on this broadcast. Live the truth, learn the truth, seek the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Tools for Time at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. But wait, wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring, ladies and gentlemen, all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's family-friendly environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sundays, allowing all of its employees to worship in the house of God with their families as God ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Complete an application for employment. See what God does with placing you there in the family of Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole there. It's the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Flagpole's about 165 feet in there, I'm told. Gigantic flag flowing. Find that flag and flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and visit the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you have heard it, and most likely you have not. Let me read you a headline article. Then we're going to talk about it for a few minutes. Feel free to jump in this dialogue and discussion at 831-0917, 831-0917. Here's an article that says, top global agency calls for lockdowns, listen to that word, lockdowns, to curb oil use. As gasoline prices rise to record levels, the International Energy Agency is calling for Americans' energy lockdown, such as banning the use of private cars in cities on Sunday. Other measures proposed in the agency's 10-point plan to cut oil use, including reducing speed limits, working from home, cutting business air travel, imposing taxes on SUVs and other large vehicles. Governments have all the necessary tools at its disposal to put oil demand into decline in the coming years, which would support efforts of both strengthening energy security and achieve vital climate goals, they say in this article. Among the proposal, listen, reducing highway speed limits by 6 miles an hour, make working from home necessary, street changes to encourage walking and cycling, car-free Sundays in cities, and restrictions on other days, cutting transit fares, policies, and encourage more carpooling, more cutting of business air travel. Another idea is restricting private cars to be used on roads in big cities. Even number and odd number days based on your license plate and weekends, and those odd number plates on weekdays. Further, the article states, proposed solutions to climate change, COVID, and now the Russian war are all exactly the same. Hammer the poor, the middle class, with more restrictions on travel, less freedom, and even more surrendering of power to unelected government regulators, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's just do a little takeoff on that and talk about it for a few minutes. Let's just say that you wake up in the morning, you wake up tomorrow or next week, and the headlines remind you that in your city, you cannot drive your car to work. You've got to carpool. You've got to find other avenues of getting there. Streetcars, subway, taxis, et cetera, et cetera. But you cannot drive your privately owned car. We're going back, ladies and gentlemen. We listen carefully. America experienced submission to the government in a big way. 2 years ago, with the so-called COVID shutdown, you're going to shut down for 2 weeks, 14, 15 days, then everything's going to be all right. We were told to do that, and it flattened the curve. Ladies and gentlemen, that grew into 2 years. With the forced mask mandate, with the forced lockdowns, with the forced destruction of businesses and the citizens being put in a position that they could not work and depending on the government for a check to be handed out each and every month. Ladies and gentlemen, we have already, hear me, we've already experienced the grooming, the precursor training for submission to government mandates. So the Biden cabal and those in his administration, along with some of the international folks today, want to tell us that we need to have a lockdown in order to preserve gasoline, to preserve oil. What do you think about this, ladies and gentlemen? I've outlined just 7 points from that massive article. No driving of cars on Sunday. Secondly, high taxes on larger cars. Third, reducing highway speed. Goes back to the Carter administration on all interstate highways. Traffic speed was dropped back to 50 and 55 miles an hour. Requiring working from home to prevent driving. Gasoline lockdown to preserve fuel. Cutting business hours, cutting business travel, cutting air travel. Forcing the purchase and use of electric cars. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the government has already gotten Americans used to government control over our travel and our movement and our business. So the next will be lockdowns to, quote, save gasoline. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood.
Delighted to have you. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm not that whole thing on Sunday. You know, I lived through the 70s. I remember the odd even. I remember the Carter administration. I remember the drop in the speed limit there. And I remember they worked as hard as they could to repeal the blue law so people could shop on Sunday, when Sunday was a traditional day of rest, relaxation, and worship. This whole thing about Sunday is only aimed at one segment of the population. It's funny how they're aiming that at industrialized nations, and you look at some of the biggest polluters on Earth, who are China and India. I challenge anybody in your audience just to look up how many coal plants China is going to build this year. And then if you're really brave, look up how many India is going to build.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, this is just more of the same thing, and it boils down to political control, cradle to grave, and more of that whole mark of the beast heading straight forward as fast as they can.
We're on a jumbo 777, Jim, full steam ahead, no pilot at the control, rushing into eternity without any controls on what's being said and what's being done. In fact, Jim, I'll take a moment if you'll hang in. I'm looking at an article.
Yes, sir.
I'm amazed that CNN is starting that chipping away at the Biden cabal. CNN host says, world is entering a post-American era under the Biden administration. You can see signs of this everywhere, this article reads. CNN host observed Sunday that under the leadership of President Joe Biden, the era of global American dominance is over. The Wall Street Journal reported last week that leaders in Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates declined calls with Biden as Russia's war in Ukraine intensified. Although Zakari, that's the anchor with CNN, According to Zakari, Russia's war in Ukraine marks a new era of world history and a particular evidence of America's diminishing influence on a global stage. One of the defining features of the new era is that it is post-American. You can see signs of this everywhere. Now, Jim, I find it fascinating, amazing, that you have one of the major anchors with CNN that's willing to call Joe Biden out and say we're looking at a post-American era as a result of what Biden is doing. And then you're familiar with, most recently with the New York Times, admitting that Hunter Biden's laptop is real. Well, you and I have known it's real for the whole time, but they played it down.
Yes, sir.
And now they're playing it up as being something that needs to be investigated. And so the bottom line is, as I see it, Jim, I see even the loose likes lost liberals, the rank socialist communist media, now finding something to say about Biden. And at the same time, we see the intensification of the control of American people now wanting to control when we drive, where we drive, and what we can do with that. My question is, and Jim, perhaps you have an input that you'd like to give, what will America be like if this goes into reality?
I know what it would be like here in Jacksonville, because you can't walk anywhere in this city. We don't have a public transit system that could support the population here because the distances are vast. And just for an example here, I drive for a living. I can easily put on 250 to 350 miles a day and never leave Duval County.
That's right.
And another thing, too, I'd like to correct that CNN article there. Instead of leadership, it should be lack of leadership.
Absolutely.
This country could be much, much better with the right leader. Biden is not that leader.
Well, we found that just with our 4 years with President Trump, what a good leader could do. And yet we've had a number of people coming out of the Christian community saying that Trump was a bad man. You know, the old cliche, orange man bad. And the philosophy was that he had a bad vocabulary. But we elect a president to lead us. We do not try to go out and find someone that would emulate Jesus to lead us. We're not electing Jesus. We're electing a political leader that has the knowledge, the wisdom, and the backbone to lead us as a nation. But as you know, and most of our listeners are aware of, our global leaders are laughing at America. We're no longer the leader in the world, but we're being laughed at because of the incompetent one that's in the Oval Office supposedly leading us. But I am saddened to see another approach being taken today where there's the mindset that you can tell Americans, park your car, disavow anything that's called using of oil or gasoline, and start walking again and carpooling. And I had not caught it, but you touched on it, which was a very, very insightful statement. I wanted to shut down car travel on Sundays, and it would attack what? Nothing but Christians, primarily Christians, of traveling to churches to worship. So, Jim, you're exactly right. But what is your what do you recommend? What are your thoughts as far as the solution for Americans, for those listening today? What is the response? What should the response be to what we're seeing and taking place in relationship to the potential of this becoming an executive order?
I think that Americans should turn back to Jesus. They should
Amen.
Be on their knees, asking for repentance, praying for our nation there, for a good leader, or we're going to continue on this path. And you were right about we're not electing Jesus as a leader there. You can even look at biblical examples there. David wasn't a perfect man,
right.
But yet he was God's chosen, and he did a great job with what
Absolutely.
He was given.
Good example.
You know? And he was no different of a man than you or I, but he had God on his side as
Amen.
A leader.
Amen. The scripture says he was a man after God's own heart.
And, yes, he was.
Jim, thank you so much for your call and for your
input. Thank you, sir.
Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question and comment, please.
You know, each stage of this Biden administration, actually the 12 or more months that led up to it with all the COVID chaos, each step has been a further power grab by an ever-growing authoritarian central government. And literally, The comparisons to authoritarian governments around the world is off the charts. Sadly, the neglect of recognizing the damage, I mean, I suppose just in the past decade and a half, we've seen the complete chaos in Venezuela. But they stepped into an authoritarian socialist system, and within 10 years, they went from being a bastion of capitalist success and with a fair amount of freedom and wealth. They went from that to, if you want your food card, you need to work 90 days in the fields. They went from being the number two consumer of F-150 trucks to the number one cause of infant mortality is malnutrition. Literally, once the switch has been flipped and you embrace the socialism or the authoritarianism or the combination of the two, the lifespan of a government or the lifespan of a system is very, very, very diminished. You know, there's the old quote that hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. The man that's occupying the White House is a very, very weak man, mentally, probably physically, and the whole world sees it. The chaos that ensues is potentially off the charts for America.
Greg, in making that statement, let me ask you a question. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg is up in the southern tip of heaven, better known as Northeast Tennessee. Greg, what's your weather like there today?
It is absolutely unlimited visibility, beautiful as far as the eye can see. I'm looking out over the Great Smoky Mountains here in the Houston Valley, and there's no other place on earth I'd like to be right now.
Well, we've got about 6 inches of sunshine here in Jacksonville today.
Poor folks. I feel sorry for you down there.
I can't complain at all. Greg, let me ask you a question, getting back to the focus at hand. If Biden is weak, and he is, we all admit that and recognize that, is that causing things like the war of Russia on Ukraine and the threats and the flexing of the muscles by Xi out of China and the firing of 22 missiles into the U.S. Embassy area in Iraq coming out of Iran? Are these things promulgated, in your opinion, based on the world seeing the weakness of our president?
Well, weakness and being controlled by the rabid, radical left within America. Now, I say controlled by them. I suppose you have control by them, but money flows from Russia, Ukraine, China, and other places into the Biden household. So you kind of wonder who really controls this guy. The first day he steps in and he literally does all that he can to hamstring American energy production with the pause in leases and the severing of current leases and the shutdown of the Keystone XL pipeline and then the removing of sanctions that were hamstringing the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that emboldens and empowers and enriches Russia, its oligarchs, and particularly Putin. So, you know, each step in the equation, it's been doing damage to the United States and enhancing the power of foreign governments and foreign tyrants. Incidentally, even the ill-thought pullout from Afghanistan has now caused our, you know, allies to be concerned and our enemies to be empowered and emboldened. Think about, from a macroeconomic standpoint, folks need to realize that OPEC nations, your oil-producing, exporting countries of the world like Saudi Arabia, have been in a deal with the United States since the early 70s when we left the gold standard. Our dollars are internationally known as petrodollars. If you want to buy oil from an OPEC nation, you need to convert your rupee, your ruble, your yen, your yuan, your whatever currency, you need to convert it to U.S. dollars. that gives artificial dollar demand around the world. A lot of people call that reserve currency status. You know, the whole world wants U.S. dollars. Well, now there are talks between Saudi Arabia and China to sell Saudi Arabian oil and yuan. Why is that? Well, Saudi Arabia has to look at the United States as completely weak-kneed today. The fact that we will tuck and run, I think it was safer with the 2,500 soldiers in Afghanistan in the year leading up to the pullout. It was safer for them to be there, as crazy as it sounds, safer for them to be there than for them to be in the south side of Chicago, okay? Mm-hmm. I think we lost one in any loss of life is horrible. But this man comes in and says, hey, let's tuck and run. Let's skedaddle. Let's leave a vacuum that we know that the Taliban will fill. Now, your leadership in Saudi Arabia, they're wicked folks, I'm sure. But guess what? They see your Taliban types, your Irani terrorist types, they see them as a real threat to their existence. And our deal has been with the petrodollar, you sell your oil in U.S. dollars, and we will defend your butt, okay? That sounds horrible. We made that deal a long time ago, but we left the gold standard with the dollar, and that allowed the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve to partner together and manipulate the economy worldwide by printing currency, making currency easy to come by, or tightening. You know, they've gone back in two. Today, it has become a runaway machine. They have created a monster that they can no longer control. If you don't believe me, look at what they did, the 08, 09 lead up to the collapse and the step up of interest rates. They did that over a 2% inflation rate. Folks, the real inflation rate today is 14, 15, 16%. This 9.79, that's rubbish. That's rubbish. We have much more to come.
Absolutely. When we look at that taking place, Greg, and I'm reading an article that perhaps you've touched on, Saudis in talks with China to pivot from the U.S. dollar. It's Dateline March 15th. United States dollar's position as the chief currency of trade for the global oil industry has been a foundation of American economy for decades, keeping inflation at bay and the Fed's unprecedented printing of money. But now Saudi Arabia and China are in talks, this article says, to price some of the monarchy's oil sales in China yuan rather than dollars. Citing people familiar with the matter, the paper said that after 6 years of runaway discussion or talks off and on, talks stepped up this year at Riyadh as Riyadh's strong opposition to Washington nuclear negotiations with Iran and other issues. The Saudis, whose oil industry was developed by the U.S., have exclusively used dollars of U.S. dollars for trading oil since the 1970s. I touched on what you had said. Greg, we got about a minute before the top of the hour news. Along with this taking place, Biden has now issued an executive order to create FedCoin or crypto dollars. How will that affect this monetary exchange with oil on an international market and with other nations? How will that affect crypto dollar if that goes into effect as Biden is now pushing?
We will have to discuss this more after the break. However, just on a CBDC, a central bank digital currency, is no different than the underlying greenback, okay? It's no different than the fiat currency you're walking around with in your back pocket, in your wallet, in your bank account, in your IRA today. If it says USD behind it, if it is backed by the Federal Reserve, if it is a treasury note, guess what, folks? It's manipulated. It is a runaway train that has been inflated 35 to 40% just in the past 24, 26 months. I would like for everyone to go to M2 Money Supply right now and look at what the money supply has had done to it in the past 24 to 26 months. We're
hold your thought there, Greg, for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break for 1 minute. We'll be right back. Do not turn your dials as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.